Paul said in Romans 11, verse 22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God." Paul tells us that there are two sides to God's nature in that verse. There is the goodness of God, and there is the severity of God. God is a good God. He is a God of love. God shows that love in many different ways. He shows that love by providing the physical things that we need. Paul said in Acts 14, verse 17, that rain from heaven and the fruitful seasons, the food that we eat, all show that God is a God of love. And of course, God's supreme proof or demonstration of His love was sending His Son to die for sinful man. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 19, that love that Jesus had for us surpasses knowledge. It surpasses our ability to understand. We cannot fathom that kind of love because we don't have that kind of love, especially for people that are wicked. And yet the Bible shows that God does. God has perfect love. At the same time, the Bible says that God is a God of severity. He is a severe God. God is a God of justice. God is a God of complete, perfect fairness. Now, folks, one of the things that people have a hard time accepting about God is this aspect of His nature. And that is, God is not only a God of love, He is a God of justice. And that means that unforgiven sin will not go unpunished. I want to look at a few passages here with you this morning, coming from the book of Matthew. These are all about that place that we call hell, that the Bible calls hell, a place of everlasting punishment. Listen very carefully to what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the loving Savior Himself, said about hell. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus was talking to His disciples here, and He said, don't fear so much people that can take your life. Don't so much place your fear upon men who are able to kill the body, because they can't do anything to your soul unless you let them. The one that you really need to fear is the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the kind of pain. That is the kind of punishment that you don't want to face. And notice that Jesus said to fear Him. Now, many people today, and I'm afraid that there is a growing number of religious people who are uncomfortable with the idea of hell. They really don't want to hear it preached about. They really don't want to hear it talked about. They really don't want to hear it even mentioned or think about it because it makes them uncomfortable. Well, folks, the idea of eternal punishment in hell is something that obviously is going to make us uncomfortable. But God didn't create this life so that you and I can avoid any kind of discomfort in our minds. God didn't give us the Bible so that everything that He tells us in the Bible is going to make us feel good. The idea of eternal punishment in hell is designed to cause this kind of fear. And so today, when you hear people criticizing a preacher because, as they sometimes say, well, he's one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers. Well, if he preaches the Bible, he's going to preach on hellfire. And if he does not preach on hellfire, then he's not preaching the Bible. Jesus Christ Himself preached more on eternal punishment in hell than anybody in the New Testament. And yet, Jesus had greater love for man than anybody that has ever walked this earth. And so today, when people try to say that love is going to somehow preclude eternal punishment in hell, that a loving God would never do that to anybody, really doesn't understand what the Bible says about love, that individual really doesn't understand what the Bible says about justice, and as we're looking at in this series of lessons, that person doesn't understand what the Bible teaches about the nature of God. So in Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus plainly teaches the doctrine of eternal punishment in hell. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, because here in Matthew chapter 25, we also have some interesting statements that Jesus made about this subject. And in making these statements, Jesus teaches us about the nature of God. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 41. Then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now Jesus here is talking about the judgment. At the judgment, the Bible tells us that Jesus will tell those who are lost these words, Depart from me into everlasting fire. This everlasting fire, he said, was prepared for the devil and his angels. So originally, this place that we call hell was designed, it was prepared for the devil and his angels, those other angels that followed him. But because man follows in the footsteps of those rebellious angels, many people are going to go to this place. So we find in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that Jesus himself says that there is a hell. And notice also that he said that it is a place of everlasting fire. Jesus taught that hell is everlasting. Now notice what he also says down in verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So what he's saying here then is that people who go into life, and that's heaven, are going to be there for all of eternity. How long is the life that God gives to the saved in heaven? Well, somebody said, well, obviously, it's forever. It's non-ending. It is absolutely eternal. Well, the Bible also says that the punishment that God gives to the lost is going to be everlasting or eternal. Now, there's absolutely no difference between everlasting and eternal in this passage, in Matthew 25, verse 46. Both of those words come from the same root word. And that word means non-ending, eternal, without any end whatsoever. Now, there have been people, some of whom are regarded as Bible scholars, who have tried to do all kinds of things with what the Bible says about hell to get rid of the idea of hell or to get rid of the idea that hell is everlasting. And they cannot do it. They cannot do it without indicting the Bible and basically calling Jesus a liar. For instance, there are some people who say, well, but hell, although it is a place of punishment, it is a place of fire, it is not everlasting. It is not really eternal. Well, Jesus said that it is. Jesus says that hell is eternal. And they can do all kinds of gymnastics with this word, but they can't get around the fact that in Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus uses the same word to describe life in heaven as he does punishment in hell. If life in heaven is eternal, then punishment in hell must be eternal. But if, as these people are trying to argue, if punishment in hell is limited, if punishment in hell is just for a short while, in spite of the fact that the Bible says it's everlasting, then how on earth would you know that the life in heaven is not limited? Wouldn't that mean also that life in heaven is going to come to an end, that it's not really eternal? You see, whatever we say about one of these things, we have to say about the other. And if we're going to be true to the Bible, we have to say that both are eternal because our Lord Jesus Christ said that both of them are eternal. When people today say then that a righteous God, a loving God, would not punish anybody in hell, they're looking at it from the standpoint that God is simply a God of love without any kind of justice whatsoever. That's not the kind of God that we serve, folks. God is not the kind of God who approves of everything. God is not the kind of God who allows man to do whatever he wants to without holding him accountable. You see, hell shows us how bad sin really is. The cross of Christ shows us that, and the Bible doctrine of hell shows us that sin is a terrible, heinous thing in the sight of God. And what I want to do right now is to go from the book of Matthew over to the book of 2 Thessalonians, to show that the justice of God demands everlasting punishment in hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to look beginning in verse 6 at what Paul says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Now, the people who were troubling these Christians were the unbelieving Jews for the most part. They were persecuting these Christians. And Paul said there's coming a day in the which God is going to repay them. He's going to repay them with tribulation. And he's going to talk about the kind of tribulation that he's going to give to them. It's not in this life. It's going to be at the judgment. But I want you to notice a word in verse 6, and that is the word righteous. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God. The word righteous means just. It is a just, it is a fair, and it is a fitting thing with God to repay these people who are troubling you with tribulation. And in verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest." God is going to repay you Christians who are faithful to Him, who have been troubled by these persecutors. God is going to repay you with rest at the day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. There it is again. Everlasting, eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What kind of God is God? What is the nature of God? He is not only a God of love, He is a God of wrath and a God of justice. The same God that will reward the saved with heaven is the God that will punish sinners in hell. This is the true nature of God. This is the Bible doctrine about God, and this is the doctrine that needs to be taught so much more in our day and age. Well, thank you for listening. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.